when you hear the phrase clean feed, you instantly think the definition is feed that is free of all spoilage or bacteria, mycotoxins. But that is not really the reality. We live in an imperfect world. So naturally, there's always going to be something present. So the real definition of clean feed is a feed that has spoilage and wild yeast and bacteria and mycotoxins held and managed to a minimal level.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Boost gut health, performance, and profitability with Digestrum Prime, a phytogenic feed additive that enhances digestion and immune function in dairy calves. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime.
With early detection in health, reproduction, and feeding, SmaxTech future-proofs your dairy operation. Excellent, a novel product for the management of hypocalcemia. It's uncomplicated excellence. Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together. Adiseo USA, producers of SmartAmine M and MilkPay.com.
Lalamond Animal Nutrition, partnering in microbial solutions for a changing world.
All right, welcome everybody to this episode of the Dairy Podcast Show. I'm your host for today, Gail Carpenter, and I'm joined today by Dr. Cassidy Boose. Dr. Boose is a PhD nutritionist with a focus on forage utilization and feed preference. Earning both her master's and doctorate degrees from the University of Nebraska-Lincoln, Dr. Boose has conducted extensive research in low lignin alfalfa and animal behavior as it relates to digestibility and intake. Her insights help bridge the gap between nutritional science and on-farm application, enhancing free feed strategies for optimal performance. Welcome to the podcast, Cassidy.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
I think today we wanted to chat a little bit about this whole idea of clean feeding and what the return on investment might be for clean feeding. And this whole idea of on-farm feed hygiene. So why, what is feed hygiene? How would you describe that?
So, first of all, we like to say like clean feed because it's just an easier concept to grasp. But when you hear the phrase clean feed, you instantly think the definition is feed that is free of all spoilage or bacteria, mycotoxins. But, that is not really the reality. We live in an imperfect world. So naturally, there's always going to be something present. So, the real definition of clean feed is a feed that has spoilage and wild yeast and bacteria and mycotoxins held and managed to a minimal level.
So why is this critical to on-farm performance and herd health?
Yeah, so when you choose to feed spoiled feed to your cattle, you naturally think of all the physical things that you can observe that will happen, such as like dry matter loss in your lichen siled forages pile, but you might also see decreases in dry matter intake, but it goes so much deeper than that. A lot of times it can throw off the rumen environment, so you're not going to be optimizing digestion as well. You can also be introducing bacteria or other irritants to the hindgut, which is going to then cause inflammation. And that is really a big energy loss to the animal, managing that and having to run her immune system to manage that. So you don't necessarily want to lose production in that sense with your hindgut performance as well as your rumen. But also, there's a lot of those toxins that can enter the bloodstream and then start having negative effects on the animal systemically, especially in reproduction. So it's not only what we do see, but it's also what we can't see. A great example of this is I had a herd that I worked with in the upper Midwest last summer, and they were struggling with a silage that had pockets of mycotoxins and really high bacterial load throughout. And they were just really struggling. They had 5, 10, 15 pounds dropped in milk. They had heifers that were not really conceiving. They're having a lot of issues getting their heifers bred. And then they also had a lot of abortions in their dry cows. And unfortunately, that is not something that we could solve because the silage was bad throughout. So it was more so supporting them on the like feed additive side, finding feed additives that are going to support the gut and help the cows get through that challenge. But in a couple months, they were able to get into their new silage and the herd rebounded right back. So it's a really big challenge to not only your operation, but your herd. So focusing on producing a clean feed is going to increase the quality of your herd's production, but also their efficiency.
Better feed means better outcomes. This is why Lalamond Animal Nutrition, a global leader in microbial solutions, developed the clean feed approach. Lalamond protects your silage with research-proven forage inoculants, offering expert advice and services to maximize your investment and profitability. Their cutting-edge microbial solutions help boost feed efficiency and production, ensuring you are supported from field to feed out. Learn more at cleanfeedapproach.com.
So when you talk about clean feed, are you mostly focusing on silages then?
Yes. Well, we like to say that it follows into the bunk as well, because your silages get included in a TMR and there are some hygiene issues that can happen in the bunk as well. We like to really emphasize on practices that improve feed hygiene. So there's the practices that we normally hear that are at feed out, like having good face management to minimize the amount of surface area of the silage pile so there's not as much oxygen exposure. We also think of like not removing as much plastic, once again, minimizing oxygen exposure. But then when you move into the feed bunk, it's really focusing on not introducing any debris to that TMR that can then throw off that environment and lead to some opportunistic bacteria wreaking havoc in there. So we like to really emphasize making sure your mixer wagon or any equipment doesn't drive over the TMR that can get pushed back in during push-ups and integrated in. And also focusing on minimizing the amount of wildlife that can get into your barn. Like, we know birds are everywhere. They're going to get in your barn. But if you can find ways to minimize that, so that way they're not introducing any more debris to your TMRs, will also be very beneficial.
Do you see any regional differences?
Absolutely. There's definitely differences when it comes to like the types of crops that are harvested in terms of being able to get a desirable packing density or moisture content that happens really regionally. In the South, we see a lot of some like small cereal silages that they tend to fluctuate more in dry matter because they're really hard to time with harvesting. And then making sure you get an ideal dry matter content on them to help with packing density. When it comes to more like the TMR side of things, the more hot and humid regions have more issues with basically stability in the bunk. And then especially out west when we have more open lots, they definitely struggle a lot more with wildlife getting in there and introducing, Lord knows what, pathogens and debris as well. So it's something that everybody deals with, but what exactly they're dealing with and how they handle it is very different across the United States.
So we've talked about kind of why this clean feed is important. When producers choose to feed spoil feed, what impact does that, what's the real cost there, right? Like what is the unseen cost and impact on return on investment that we see with clean feed, or rather the reverse of clean feed?
Yeah. So like we kind of touched on my example for my upper Midwest herd, you're seeing that decrease in milk yield and you're also seeing issues with reproductive rates. So that way you're not getting enough replacements. You're not bringing cows into lactation. So that's naturally going to hit the efficiency of your herd. But there's also so many other added costs that come with feeding spoiled feeds. You usually need to find some kind of feed additive or binder or TMR stabilizer to include in the feed to help try and keep it somewhat less volatile than if you were to just let it be on its own. So that is always going to be at a cost when you add something new to the diet. But there's also lots of issues with your herd health that require vet visits, treatments, and whatnot. And we all know having the vet out to your operation is not the cheapest. So those are all extra costs that decrease your return on investment for your ensiled forages.
So you've mentioned a couple of management practices. How can producers achieve high quality feed, clean feed? What are some of the routine things that we need to be looking at? You mentioned, you know, keeping that oxygen away, making sure we're defacing properly, removing plastic. You mentioned a few things there. But what do you see as kind of that low hanging fruit that producers need to be focusing on when it comes to those everyday habits that we need to get into?
I first of all like to say this is not just a one phase approach. It's four phases. It needs to start in the field, follow through into harvest, then go into feed out, and then once again, managing in the feed bunk. So in the field, this is a great opportunity for you to work with your agronomist or a crop scout to start scouting your crops closer to the end of the growing season. So that way they can be looking for any diseases or fungus that may be present in the field. So that way you know if you need to apply like a pesticide or a fungicide. Because if it starts in the crop, it's definitely going to move over into your entire feed pile. So you want to make sure you're doing the right things in the field so that way you start off on the right foot. Then at harvest, there's the things that we also can typically think of. There's harvesting at the optimal dry matter, making sure you get the right particle size so that way you help with packing density. But the biggest benefit producers can see with helping with packing density especially is talk to your harvest crew or your custom chopper to slow down on feed delivery. Custom choppers, they love to really crank out loads of feed because that's how they make more bang for their buck. But really encourage them to slow down so that way the packing tractor has enough time to make enough passes over the entirety of the pile and spread everything out in very thin, gradual layers to get that ideal packing density. So I really encourage producers to have that conversation as early as possible with your custom chopper or your harvest crew so they kind of get why you want them to slow down and get a good packing density. Because once again, that's going to all help with oxygen exposure. Then I strongly encourage them to also use an inoculant. The way I like to describe it, it's like walking into a casino knowing the odds. It's not going to guarantee that you're going to win, but you're going to have a better chance at winning because you're picking the right games to play. So an inoculant is going to help you better manage your ensiled forages and make up for any of the shortfalls that we have a hard time controlling when it comes to harvesting forages because they're just so dynamic. And then once again, moving into feed out, again, minimizing plastic removal, make sure you're defacing downwards so that way you're not messing with your density. Avoid feeding spoiled feeds if you can, but then also making sure that you're using a feed bucket attachment that is dedicated specifically for forages or feeding. And then once again, moving into the bunk, making sure that like the feed area is clear of any traffic from the pens, whether that be employees or equipment or cows coming in and out. And then also making sure like heat abatement, your fans and sprinklers are aimed away from the feed alley. So that way, once again, you're not introducing debris. So basically to wrap that up, it's not just making a good decision at harvest or doing the right practices at feed out. It's starting in the field and following through each of the steps until you get to the feed bunk.
Yeah, there's not a magic bullet, unfortunately, like a lot of things in life. It's not just one, this one simple trick will give you clean feed. And I think I noticed, too, a couple of the things you talked about involve communication, right? Like communicating with your custom harvester, communicating with your feeders, like making sure people have those expectations and everybody's on the same page. I think that's something that gets overlooked quite a bit, too, is just you know, like you understand as the producer what your needs are, but not everybody who's involved in that chain necessarily does.
Absolutely. Like it's not a one person show putting up forages just because of how labor intensive it is. So the more that everybody can be on the same page with what you're expecting out of them and their duties around your ensiled forage program, the better. So just once again, make sure you're communicating, just like you said, so everybody's on the same page.
So what tools do producers have? Are there any tools that they can put in their toolbox to help them monitor feed quality and see if they're achieving clean feed?
Yeah. So first off, I wholeheartedly recommend regularly checking your forages. Forages are very dynamic in their composition throughout the pile just because of differences in the field with, you know, you get those wet pockets or you have like a spot that doesn't have as many like nutrients in the soil. Maybe you had some pressure from the edges of the field, et cetera. So you need to be testing regularly to see how the composition of your feeds is changing. And I really like to say you can't manage what you don't measure. So you can do like some visual observations, like if you see that layer of spoilage across the top. But the more impactful factors are nutrients that you can't measure easily on the farm. So that, like having to go out and regularly sample feeds, is very time consuming for producers and nutritionists. So I always argue that it's better to partner with a feed company that offers forage services where they can come onto your operation and do all the hard work for you. The best example I have is Lalamond's Explorer program. Basically, one of our field support specialists comes onto your operation and we take physical measurements of your pile, like temperature, packing density, particle size, and give you some feedback on that, on basically the potential of spoilage for your pile, but also how it could potentially perform in a TMR. But then also we pull samples, send that off for lab analysis, and then we combine it all into this really nice summarized report. So that way it has commentary and interpretation of the data, so you don't have to do too much thinking. You just get to read the results, and that way it saves time for you. So again, I would encourage producers to regularly be checking their forages, get in-depth analysis, not just doing a dry matter that you can do in like an air fryer in the barn, but get down into the nitty-gritty of what the nutrient composition is looking like and if there's any like mycotoxins or bacteria present. And then also work with a partner so that way you can take some of those tasks off your plate as well.
So is that something where with that analysis that you do, that we can look at things like microbial load in feed?
Absolutely. We're very much able to customize our reports to whatever your concerns may be. So like if you really want to focus on mycotoxins or the presence of wild bacteria or yeast, or even get into like different species, so that way if you like, you know, you're experiencing a challenge, you could figure out exactly what you're dealing with. We're able to do that. So that's another thing I would encourage producers to look for in a partner, is somebody who can be flexible in helping them overcome challenges.
So we've found out we have a problem. We've brought in our expert advice. We've done our analysis. We found out we have a feed quality issue. How can producers adjust their feeding strategies to minimize the impacts of what we found on cow health and production? So once it's up, it's too late, right? Like,
yes.
So we got to feed cows. Not feeding cows is not the answer.
Absolutely. Sometimes you just got to deal with what you got. So again, I encourage producers to measure their forages so you know exactly what you are working with. So that way you can come up with a targeted response. And then I strongly urge producers to work with your nutritionist. They have the training and expertise to be able to help you overcome these challenges, but also don't minimize what you're seeing on the farm. Your nutritionist is on the farm maybe a couple hours every couple weeks, while you're there basically 24/7. So I really urge them to work with their nutritionist to come up with a solution. Ideally, we'd love it if you pitched the spoiled feed, but that is not always an option. Sometimes feed inventory becomes an issue. So that's when you have to start looking at feeding strategies and feed additives to support the gut. So unlike the feeding strategy side, if you can dilute out that spoiled feed with some other feeds, so that way you minimize the amount of load of mycotoxins or bacteria that are present, it's going to help minimize the impact to the digestive tract. If you're dealing with a lot of like volatile alcohols or esters, you can actually knock down the feed the night before, spread it out, let it air out, so that way it volatilizes. So that way it's not necessarily going to be an issue to your cattle in terms of throwing off their digestive tract. It's more of a palatability issue because the strong smell and flavors really deter them. So that's going to help get it back to a more palatable state. But maybe you sent off your lab analysis or sent off your forages for lab analysis and you saw that you're dealing with a high presence of DON. The only thing that's going to help with DON is feeding a binding clay. That's the only way to get it out of the system. But if you're dealing with mycotoxins, you're going to want to focus more so on the rumen and rumen efficiency, because that can really get thrown off. The best support you can do, or the best feed additive you can use to support your animal's digestive tract, really is a probiotic that can actively work in that environment to help get the rumen environment back to a stable level and help maintain digestibility. But if you're dealing with like a really high bacteria load, such as E. coli or Salmonella, then you're going to want to have to focus on the hindgut, because that's where they can really start wreaking havoc and taking advantage of the situation. And so with that, you're going to want a probiotic or postbiotics that are going to help not only support gut integrity, but also bind up that bacteria so it can't attach to the epithelial lining of this large intestine. So that way they're actually flushed out instead of causing more damage. So again, I really urge you to measure what you're dealing with so that way you can come up with a targeted solution and then work with your nutritionist to develop a feeding strategy or select feed additives that are going to help you overcome this challenge.
It's funny because we always talk about the importance of consistency when we're feeding cows, right? And cows, we always say cows crave consistency. But you have to have some level of flexibility too when you come across issues like this, and you got to kind of find that balance, I suppose.
Absolutely. I once heard somebody say, like, make a plan, but don't fall in love with it. So it's like understanding, like, you can have the best plan in the world and stick to it, but sometimes something's going to pop up that's going to derail it. So it's being able to be flexible and then also be quick enough to get on top of the issue before it spirals out of control too.
Give your calves the digestive advantage with Digesterone Prime. This phytogenic feed additive blends essential oils, herbs, spices, and plant extracts to optimize digestion and nutrient absorption. By enhancing feed intake and supporting gut health, Digesterone Prime boosts your calves' immunity and growth while increasing profitability. Plus, it has no withdrawal periods, making it a smart choice for your feeding program. Learn more at dsm-firmenich.com/prime.
Let's end with some action items. What is something that producers should be thinking about doing today to help improve, to make their feed clean, to improve feed quality and ensure that we get some of these long-term performance benefits?
Absolutely. So I say it's never too early to start thinking about the future. So like right now you could be talking to your agronomist or crop scout to develop a plan for going out into your fields and scouting them towards the end of the growing season. So that way you can get on top of any issues that may come up there. You can also start having conversations with your harvest crew or custom chopper, like I said, about working on the timing of delivery to help improve your packing density. But also we still have to deal with what we have right now as well. So work with your feeding crew to basically train them on these good feed hygiene practices, like your face management, making sure you're removing enough of the face, 6 inches in the summer, 10 to 12 inches in the winter, to maintain a high quality feed at the face. And then it is always a good time to have a conversation with your nutritionist about feed additives, because they can be fed year round. It's honestly great to feed like probiotics before you know you're going to have a challenge, because they do take some time to establish. The digestive tract is not stagnant. There is constantly new material being introduced to it and then material leaving. So you need to be dosing daily with any feed additive, not just probiotics. It's kind of like when you have to bed stalls, you know, the cows kick out some of the manure solids or sand, or sometimes you scrape out some of the more questionable part, and then you have to put more sand in to maintain good stall comfort. The same thing applies to these feed additives with how dynamic the digestive tract is. So really, you can be focusing on the future, but also now during this time.
Well, I think that's a great, great sentiment to end on. Before we move into the three questions that we ask all of our guests, is there anywhere that people can find more information about some of the topics that we talked about today?
Absolutely. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's just Cassidy Booth, and I regularly am sharing materials that our marketing team puts out. But you can also find us online at lalamond.com. And from our home, our company's homepage, you can easily get to our animal nutrition division, where we talk more about the clean feed, but also feed additives and inoculants to help you achieve clean feed.
It's time for our famous three.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Our Yeast 40 Ruminal and Intestinal Double Modulation by ICC Animal Nutrition. Feed solutions that surpass expectations. Learn more about the benefits of working with Schooler. Visit schooler.com/feed. That's schooler.com/feed. Natural Biologics delivers cost-effective solutions to improve health and productivity, helping conquer the rumen health and immunity challenges your animals face. Your partner for extra animal performance, Berg & Schmidt Animal Nutrition.
AgriTrack, leading traction solutions for herd health. Contact us today to boost safety, comfort, and savings for your herd. Invest in the best. Who would your cows choose? Modern solutions for modern cows with AHV. Contact us to beat biofilm-related issues in your herd.
Priority IAC, the only company bringing the fields of microbiology and nutrition together and the first ingredient in animal diets. Priority provides a more cost-effective and easier approach to nutrition. We recognize that not all bacteria are created equal. The specific strain truly matters. Priority IAC selects unique strains to provide the best performance in animals, and that's why we call these strains smart bacteria. Founded by Richard Brunig, helping to improve animal health one herd at a time.
Very good. So with that, we will move into our three questions that all of our guests get asked. The first one, as you know, is what is your favorite dairy-related book or resource?
So I'm sure like my graduate school advisor would have loved if I said the Dairy Mason, but really my favorite resource in the dairy industry is actually producers. Getting to hear their stories, what they're going through and what has and hasn't worked for them will always be my favorite resource. They are some of the most innovative and resourceful people I've ever known. And so they will never fail to be a wealth of knowledge for me.
That is, I love that. I've never heard that said that way before, but I'm going to steal that, I think, in the future. That's a good one. But shout out to Nasum too.
I still reference that book a lot, but it's just not quite my favorite.
That's fair. That's fair. Nobody can argue with the way you put that. All right. So our second question is, what is your favorite non-dairy related book or resource?
So I'm not one to read like self-help or nonfiction books outside of work just because I read so much heavy scientific material in my day-to-day. So when I read for fun. And I'm horrible at picking just one book that I absolutely love. But I love the Robert Langdon series by Dan Brown. They are like the perfect mixture of like history and mystery with like thriller in there. And he has a new book coming out in September that I am so, so, so excited to read.
Very cool. All right. And so our last question is, what do you think sets successful dairy professionals apart from those that aren't successful?
I think the most successful people in our industry are those who can really find that balance between the real world and the scientific world. The scientific world, it's in this perfect little bubble where all of our variables are controlled because that's needed in order to figure out mechanisms and pathways and prove that something works. But the real world is very far from being perfect. So there's so many conflicting variables that can affect things. So by being able to take scientific understanding and then translate that to real world application really makes those individuals invaluable in my eyes.
I like that. Very good answers. You pass.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you to our guest today, Dr. Boos, on the Dairy Podcast Show. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in, and we'll see you all on the next one.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without the time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on more $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.